We appreciate so many in our class. I pray that the class will be helpful to us. I will tell you, none of us will ever regret improving our marriages. I found an interesting article the other day, and it probably had bits of truth in it, but I do can relate in my own life. It was talking about how a lot of addictions can be traced, as far as those who have difficulty in breaking addictions, to the quality of their relationships. One person wrote a book on that, and how, and I've seen that to be true, even when you're dealing with even issues like mental health issues like depression and other cases. When you have good relationships, a lot of things go better. You have a strength to overcome a lot. And when we talk about good relationships, you absolutely must be able to communicate. And communication is not easy. When we speak of communication, sometimes we think we communicate and we don't. Sometimes we seek to limit the areas of communication. I just would remind those of you who still have the memory of these times that when you were dating, you communicated quite well. I think in that process, you had an interest in trying to win somebody over. And in that process, you worked to communicate. You worked to try to learn what the person liked so you can give that to them. And there was a joy in sharing your life with another. When we talk about a fulfilled marriage, it is so much about sharing our lives. But after we become married, a lot of things change of necessity. There are responsibilities. There's challenges on time. And could I say, there's children. Yeah, that really brings a very big change in a lot of areas regarding our marriages. And so I want to talk today about... The title of our entire series is dealing with improving our marriages, but this one is communicating with our mates because we seek to serve. We're not only talking about communication, but the motive of communication. As we talked about last week, we really need to continue to understand each other, to try to meet one another's needs. And regardless if you're imperfect, we're all imperfect in our communications, we all are imperfect in our service. But our mate needs to know that we're first and that we're really seeking to provide and help. And so with that in context here, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about communication. You know, when we talk about service, the Bible really indicates you cannot be a Christian unless you have a commitment to serve. In Galatians 2:20, the Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. To become a Christian, you had to get out of yourself. The idea of crucifying yourself. The real big problems in our marriages will be selfishness. Will be, if we fail in certain areas, it will be because we're staying within ourselves in our own realm. And I understand that there are things in order to take care of yourself you need to do. There are certain conscientious choices you make. But because Christ has died for me and gave himself for me, I am motivated to die, to look out for others. And we're not even speaking of directly of marriage here. We're speaking of our attitude overall toward our brethren and toward others. In Philippians 2:3, very similar statement here. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's dealing with our brethren. That's a real challenge to get out of yourself and think of others. And some of us are going to have to learn. Some of us may, you know, maturity level is crucial here. You know, the idea of how, what do you call somebody who is selfless and thinks of others? I see that as a mature Christian. It takes time. It takes time, depending on your background, depending on the family you came from. You know, you might have been a spoiled child coming out of your home. And you're not used to thinking of others. Well, this is a Christian process. As I've talked about, these lessons are really going to talk about what I give my mate because I'm a Christian. And so these are things we got to see. We got to admit our weaknesses. We've got to commit to these things. It's not easy. It is not easy thinking of others. But now, let's talk a little bit about the idea of communication. Let's just throw this out. What if we don't communicate in our marriage? Let's say our marriage is great. We know where one another's at. We take this point in time. We are so thankful for our mates. We're seeking to serve. And then, for whatever reason, let's say maybe a tragedy comes up and you had to go home and your father or mother was critically ill and you had children at home and your wife had to stay at home and there's crisis in the home and you guys start going different directions and you don't communicate very long. What happens? Even in the best of marriages, what happens when you go through a lengthy period of time and you don't communicate?
Your mindsets start to separate.
You start to separate. Matter of fact, one of the things that holds you together is that feeling that you're together. You're thinking a lot. And even though circumstances come up and you want to communicate and you can't, it affects you. And I will say this, guys, it's particularly true for the women. We can get involved in our jobs and we can be communicating with others on our jobs and we can feel great because we are accomplishing things. And here's our wife in her home world and with children in a very limited world. And maybe we're not communicating. Maybe we come home tired. I know there may be reasons why we don't. But this affects our relationship, particularly from the woman's standpoint, that she feels very isolated. The woman particularly needs the man. And we need each other, but the woman particularly needs the man. She needs love. We talked about that last time. Man needs respect. Woman needs love. And when there is not communication, regardless of the reasons, there's going to be the feeling that she's not loved. And so this is something, guys, I don't know about you. I got to be reminded of this. My tendency is to, you know, get involved in my doing and accomplishing and other things and sometimes think, well, everything's okay at home, you know. I told my wife I loved her a few weeks ago and she ought to remember. I had to change my mind about that, you know. And sometimes we get into thinking like that. And this is why we need to communicate. And guys, we've got to learn. Now, another thing, it's interesting. The home you come out of. Now, you did not choose your parents. And were not responsible for the choices and the actions that your parents made. But you know, when it comes to almost every aspect of marriage, if we don't have the Bible involved, if we don't have Christ involved, if we don't have brethren teaching on this subject, do you know where we learn how to conduct ourselves in our marriage? From our own homes. And I would say to you, if you come out of a home where there's divorce, and I'm not trying to suggest that both sides were guilty, maybe it is. Even if you come out of a home that may have on the surface appeared good, but it might not have been good. You may have had a great home. You're blessed with that. But you tend to learn to communicate in what you have witnessed in your home. And sometimes it's not good. I know that I look back, and I love my parents. But my dad, you know, he fought in World War II. He was in a elite division that trained others. He was always a great teacher. He was always a great leader. But I think he had a weakness in kind of not talking as much as I think he could have had to my mother. I don't know. I was a kid. But I think I saw that. I thought I saw some loneliness and frustration at times. And so, whatever you've seen in your home, compare it to what the Bible teaches. And make sure that you don't get pulled into that comfortable doing it the way you've seen it. We could have learned wrong things in our home. In 1 Peter 1:18, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. There's been things handed down to you. I pray that it's been good. But it may not have been good. And let me say another thing. Why do we need to communicate? I do not instinctively know what my wife needs. And matter of fact, she can tell me and communicate with what she needs, and some time goes by, and guess what? I forget. I think it was first or second year of marriage, Yvette wrote me a really long letter. And she thought that there were certain things, she was taking a certain way, certain things happening, and you know what? She may have written that letter again a few years later, I think. And I saved it. And I could take that letter out today. And those would be things that if I am not reminded, I drift right back into. You guys that way? And those are things, you know, good communication, you need to be reminded of that. But let's talk a little bit when we talk about communication. Why is communication sometimes challenging? Let's say if we have to express to our mate something. Let's say you're talking to the man who needs respect. But you got to tell him some things that he might not feel very respected for, even though you need to say it. What's the problem with that? Sometimes isn't it kind of some fear that, you know, how is this going to be taken? How about, guy, when you ask the question, is something wrong? And, yes, we need to talk. You know, sometimes we kind of, you know, got this fear, oh no, what have I done? And sometimes there's this desire to run and hide. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we could shut down communication with our actions and even our body language. You will not regret being humble enough to communicate. And guys, I say, I'm putting the ball on our corner more so than others. Our wives generally really do want this. This would be almost one of those things. And again, I was joking with others, you know. I was joking somebody else could teach the class today because their wife is not in here and they can act authoritative. So I want to tell you, if I act authoritative here, it's not, I know, even I can talk to them. That's a great lesson. Let's work on it because it's something that is constantly needed. And so, now, let's talk about how to have good communication. You know, we talk about this, we'll talk about this again. Never assume you know it all. Never assume because communication has occurred in the past and maybe even a week ago or maybe even 2 days ago that you know everything today. Because things change. You know, I can look at my body and my exercise routine. You know, it's fascinating what I used to know to do to run and to be a good runner. It doesn't work today when I'm 60. I'm finding all kinds of new little things that I have to listen to my body and adjust. You know, your body changes. Certainly in your life, things change. And the worst thing you can do is go, I know that. Let's do Proverbs 18, 12, and 13. I'll let some of you guys do some reading today so y'all don't have to hear me all day. Who'd like to read Proverbs 18, 12, and 13? Proverbs 18, okay.
Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He who answers a matter before he hears it is folly and shame.
Okay. How can we do that in our marriage? How can we answer a matter before we hear it? A lot of different ways we can do this. How do we do that? Yes.
By thinking we know the answer already and just not listen to our wife when they're trying to explain something to us.
For those of you who have children, particularly teenage children, what's the typical reaction of the teenage children when you're getting ready to lecture, to involve some lessons to them? What's their little quick reply to this as you're starting to talk?
I know.
And we can do that to our mates. We can kind of, you know, we can get the body language, you know, heard it before, and it's good to hear. One of the things that I have to, as a guy, I got to say, my wife needs this. And I want her to know that I take this seriously. And you know what I found? The one who has told me the hardest news at times that I need to hear have been things that I need to hear. She's interested in me. She's interested in our relationship. She's interested that I do the best I can. And you know, guys, we need instruction. And listen to somebody who loves you. Be willing to, yes.
Yeah, I think that's one of the, as you're going through this, it just reminds me of our relationship with God. Me as a man, I have to realize that growing is a continual process. And and when I start in a marriage, I'm just like a babe grown in there, and I've got a lot to learn. And I didn't realize that when I was married. I was just a strong, willful young man. But anyway, we can be so much like that. It's just like our relationship to God. We can hear and then go away and forget what kind of man we're supposed to be.
So
we
easy.
We cannot be effectual doers. But it's helped me to realize that as if I don't have that relationship, continual communication with God, we're not close and I'm not growing. It's the same in our marriage.
Yeah. We could take our marriage for granted. I recently heard of a brother who no longer was married and was visiting with another Christian and says, well, I didn't realize just how much I miss having somebody to be with me, somebody to share my life. You need to remember that. Let me put this. How can we shut communication down without saying the word, be quiet? How can we communicate non-verbally we don't want to hear?
By not looking at that person.
You got to look at them? Really? Now, one of the things, let me say something about, this is a big problem that I have at times. Now, could I admit, I'm going to tell you, when I'm driving, I can't look at my mate in the driver's seat often, you know. Sometimes I've been a thing. And there are other situations. That's a problem. I mean, sometimes for me, now this is communication styles, I start really thinking about what's said, and so I go off in the ozone. Now, of course, she doesn't know I'm thinking about football game or something else, or when is this going to be over. So I realize that body language can kind of, you know, communicate things, and you don't know that you're communicating. And oftentimes, I don't know what my body language is. But anyway, what's some other ways we can pretty well show with body language? You know, you've heard the kid, you know, you've lectured the kid, the teenager, and they're doing all kinds of things like, when will this be over, you know, so.
One of the keys not to do is change the channel with the remote.
Yes. I'll have to admit that when it comes to restaurants and TVs, I've taught my son to always see what game is on TV and to get the seat where you can best see the game. And I found that Yvette doesn't like that when I've got the game on. And I mean, it's like a moth to a light for me. I'm sorry. If you got a game on, and we sort of cut the computer off, you know, put the laptop down, cut the TV off, you know, and this is good because I'm telling you, if it's on, it's just, I just attracted to it. Now, one time at Good Old Boys, I'll confess this now. I don't think I've ever confessed this to Yvette. I might have. I sat at a table facing the window, no TV. But the TV reflected perfectly on the window. And she asked a few times what I was looking at, you know. I just looking out the window, you know. But anyway, so these things do matter. What's the best way then? If we want to take our communication seriously, we probably need to get an environment where we can talk. Now, I'm getting to the point, I've always been hard of hearing, but it's getting worse. And yes, I'm going to try to eventually see a doctor that talks to me all that all the time. But man, you want me to go to a restaurant and communicate when there's a bunch of people in there? I mean, you set certain place for me. There's no way. And so each person, each unique situation you look at, but take it seriously. And you will never regret that. Again, as a guy, how do guys communicate? I mean, that's really true about, you know, some of these funny commercials. How do guys like to communicate? How you doing? Fine. Good to hear it. Bye. You know. So, you know, we tend to be brief, to the point, you know, let's get it done and go on. But you see, our wives are not geared that way. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to talk about this. But don't, you could create a fear. You can make your wife dread to talk to you. You can teach her that. How do you do that?
Well,
How do you teach your wife to dread to talk to you?
Act like you don't.
Yeah. And then be angry too. And there's another thing here, interesting. Sometimes you think you've communicated, and you actually haven't communicated. And so, this is a big challenge, you know. Like, everything's great. We've talked, you know, everything. And one may think, my husband doesn't listen to me, you know. And the other one thinks, well, we talk all the time. How do you know whether or not you've communicated? I guess it's going to be fruits. Maybe you're able to repeat it. Now, there are times, again, when I don't have the right body language. My wife was kind of suggesting me I'm not listening, and I try to quote to her the whole conversation. I have listened, you know. Sometimes I try to learn to do that. But what if you don't? Here's some nonverbal communication. Let's talk about that a little bit. Does your mate ever communicate with you in a nonverbal way effectively? What's a little hint, guys, that you might need to communicate? I remember one time we first got married. We had a good meal, and everybody enjoyed it. There was a stack of dishes, and Yvette was putting everything up. And I did what I always did in my home. My dad, after a meal, what would my dad do? He would go to the TV and put on a football game. Now, that was just what I learned to do. And with that, and I hadn't been married very long. And next thing you know, there was all kinds of racket coming from the kitchen. There was noise, and I thought dishes might break. And, you know, I wandered in there. Is there something wrong? And there was a nonverbal way of communicating that we needed to communicate. And so, sometimes that happens. And you do nonverbal stuff to me, I'm telling you, I'm a clutch, so I don't often get it. I mean, I just know enough, like, well, okay, can you talk? Let's find out what's going on. I mean, I'm a clueless guy. But we can learn in times. There are ways we can teach one another. But because I care, and I need to learn some things, and I think I've learned in some of those areas, you know, as messy as I can be, I learned my wife likes to help with cleanup and help with other things, which was a new idea to me. It really was a new idea to me in my background growing up. My mother did everything. She waited on us hand and foot, you know. And, that's not the way my wife wants to be, and that's probably not the best way in showing I care. So there are things we learn. How you work together, the roles that you play with each other, you've got to constantly communicate. Nonverbal things, James 1:19. When we're dealing here, a willingness to listen, what we've said. The Bible says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Let's talk about the difference in men and women. Now, this is not true with everybody, but it's pretty universally true. Why do women generally communicate with their husbands outside of getting their husbands to do some things they need to do? There's a major realm of communication that women do with their husbands typically that doesn't involve us doing something or fixing something. Somebody want to fill me in on that? What is one thing that our wives would desire to talk at length with us about? How about their day? And their experience at something, and sharing the emotion and simply the experiences they've had during a day. Women, do you typically like to do that with your husband? What does your husband, if they're not have learned as they ought to, what are they looking for when they hear you communicate about your day? Let's say something bad happened, and you're communicating it, and you're communicating the emotion and what you felt. And guys, what do we want to do? Yes. Yeah, we want to fix it. We want to be the warrior. Okay, and here's what you need to do. You told me this. Here's what you need to do. And here's what they did wrong. And so the conversation's over, right? Well, no. Why are you communicating to your husband? I mean, if there's a problem to fix that he can resolve, I'm sure you want him to do that. But why do you typically communicate?
You just want someone to spill it out to you, or to have empathy and sympathy.
Yes.
To say, okay.
And I will tell you, this is one that's not in my DNA naturally at all. I want to fix it and go on. Matter of fact, I sometimes, Yvette and I have a little saying as this goes on, and I don't say this to discourage you, I really don't. Why do we call this, Yvette, when we have a session like that? Like drinking from the fire hose? You know, we're here, and I'm like the race car driver, trying to stay with it. Okay, I don't want to lose the concentration. Here we go, you know. Can I remember everything, you know? But there are times I have to remind myself, I'm not put together this way, but she is. And she wants to share her life with me. I'm important enough. And I kind of wonder why she ever married me. But I'm thankful. She really wants to share life with me. And this makes her feel better. Now, maybe your marriage is a little different. Maybe maybe your needs are a little different. I'm not saying that everybody's alike here. But you see, as I learn what my mate needs, and it's not instinctively within me, I want to provide that, and I need to be reminded of it. You don't want your mate to, when you show up, where they're afraid to talk to you. That's not a good place to be in your marriage. Comments? Yes.
One thing that we've learned is that, particularly if a wife is a homemaker and she's with the kids all day and hadn't had any adult communication, and when I've been at work all day and I feel like I've talked out all the words I wanted to talk that day, but one thing we've learned is when I come in, she needs me for communication, but she realizes also I need a little bit of time to unwind from the problems of the day that I face. So what we have done many times is she'll give me a half hour or an hour to unwind if there is that time.
Yes.
And then I've got to sit down and listen and talk about her day.
Yeah, see, and there's another thing with guys. We come in from work, and maybe we've fought our battles. It's not the great time to, boom, pop us. And sometimes when we first get up, too, sometimes pop them, and we're emotionally just not ready for that. There's an old book called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and it's very true that oftentimes if we can go into our cave for a little bit and be alone and kind of, we like to work through our emotions, get this, women, alone. Men typically like to, if there's an emotional time, to have some isolation to work it through. And then when we come out of our cave, we might talk about it, but we might not want to talk about it too much. Now, on our end, maybe we do, you know, but
we know we feel something, but we don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
We have to work through it.
So that's typically, there's exceptions to this, but that's typically how men and women work. And so these are some good suggestions, you know, as we work with each other, come to know each other. But let's go back to this. If my mate does not feel like I want to communicate with her or him, they're going to conclude this: I'm not that important. And you don't want that in your marriage. The time you take for communication is important. Let's talk another thing about time. What oftentimes can keep us from communicating? It can be our schedules. It can be, you know, you got sick kids and you got bills to pay and you got this. Your schedule can be so brutal that you're doing the best you can and you don't have time. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You make that time. That time is gold in regards to your relationship and your marriage. And that's my next point. In Ephesians 5:15 and 16, dealing with spiritual choices. By the way, this is a spiritual choice. Making your marriage stronger and taking time for it is as important as spiritual choice. As Belron?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
And you may have this somewhere down the road in the outline, but you know, this point of when your spouse doesn't feel like you have time for them, they're not important. We need to understand what can happen in that circumstance. They go looking for someone who will. And we need to be aware that that is a problem. And that can create bigger problems.
Yeah.
And so that's a key part.
And again, go ahead.
I was just going to say, too, you know, for those of us that have been married for quite a few years, as we go through life, we set up patterns, whether it's our communication patterns,
yep.
whatever, but, like, you better have a strong marriage, because there may be times, like, Ken and I, in the last 2 years, have had some serious health issues to come up. And the times that we would have really been together communicating, he's in one room, I'm in the other room, and we're probably both sacked out wherever we are because of some of those health issues. And so, unfortunately, it is not a good situation, but sometimes we just have to let things coast because of our health. And as we get older, those things happen, and it's not a good thing, it's not a positive thing, but it's a fact of life.
Yes.
And when those things do come up, we have to have set a pattern of complete love and trust so that we're not questioning, well, is he sitting on the couch again because he doesn't want to be back here while I'm in the bed? You know, or those kinds of things. And in those kind of situations, if you're not extremely careful, can lead to separation of the mind, separation of the heart. And so we've had to work very hard with that so that we maintain that level of trust and letting each other know where we are, so that we're not doubting.
I'm going to probably have some material later in this class on how to prevent an affair. But I will tell you, if you start having failure in your communication and you're communicating with somebody else outside your marriage, and your wife sees flashes of that, so on, that first off creates great mistrust. But it also could easily lead to an affair. Years ago, and I won't be any specific of years ago, but I had a couple come to me, and the woman had just got within a hair's breadth of an affair, and already had taken some steps in that direction. And it was interesting. They both actually worked together in a business. But people were coming to the husband saying, look, your wife's spending all this time with this man, all this time communicating, all this time together. And I'm not saying to be suspicious of everyone, but I am saying that if you have a strong communication in your home and your needs are being met, then you can avoid an affair. But one of the first steps in an affair, it's not just something, boom, lightning hits, and you jump into that. It oftentimes starts with association and you meeting and being with someone that is not your mate and start spending a lot of time with them. There are people I never dreamed would go down the steps to have an affair or get real close to it. And so again, communication is part of what ought to be the intimacy of marriage. It ought to be something that needs to be maintained. That will help protect our marriages. And so we'll talk more about that in another lesson. Brian.
Yeah, I'm kind of tapping off of that. The whole idea of maintaining communication, I think, is important. You don't want to just wait until you have an issue or you feel like you need to communicate to do it. It needs to be something that's constantly going on all the time. When things are good, it needs to be going on. When things are bad, it's going on. So I kind of compare it, at least in my marriage, like, you know, blowing up a balloon. You keep adding air and air and air, and eventually it's going to get to that point where it's going to pop. And when it pops, it's not going to be good. And I found that, you know, in our marriage, that if we're withholding and not communicating, and then problems start to come up and it starts to fester, judgment day's coming in the house. It's not going to be very good.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really important.
And so, guys, you know, for me, that's my bigger challenge, you know. And so I have to be reminded. I oftentimes fail, but hopefully not in a consistent basis. And we have to, that's the area where we have to just be mindful and reminded of that. I think we've had one bell already, is that right? We haven't? Okay, I'm sorry, good. I was about to.
We've had one.
Okay, good. Okay. And so, any other comments, since we're right at the end of the class? Any other comments? So, yes.
My only comment, I don't mean to be commenting too much.
That's okay.
But is it some of us who are older and can understand some of these things? I hope that some of the younger marriages realize this class is so good, because about every one of these lessons I had to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
I just was not naturally in tune.
Yeah.
This is such good material, and I hope that the younger people can not have to learn every one of them the hard way like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it's not. What's more important is not how much money you bring home, although it's good to pay the bills. It's not, you know, what kind of physique you've got, although that's fine to be a healthy person and feel good about yourself. But these are the areas right here that really continue to build attractiveness and that hold you together and that actually gives you strength in everything you do. Thank you for your participation today. Thank you.